Ramsey TV.
People who would disparage those of us who expect the coming of Christ and look for the coming of Christ, rightly so, we're supposed to do that. But those who would disparage those of us who are of this disposition, they paint us as dreamers, as not very practical people. They get this picture of us as those who just look up in the sky dreamily all day, and we're of no practical use in this life. We hope for pie in the sky like a kid looking for Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. And this is a very mistaken opinion, because I don't know of anyone in the body of Christ who has suspended their daily activities, who no longer takes care of their kids, or no longer feeds the dog, no longer brushes their teeth, no longer eats, no longer drinks. I don't know anybody in the body of Christ who is so stupid as to go up on a mountaintop in a robe, and this is the stereotype, and stare into space waiting to be delivered from this wretched life. The truth of the matter is encouraging, and I'm going to bring that truth to you today. And you already know this, but I'm going to confirm it for you. I'm going to help you ignore your detractors, ignore the people who have no expectation. And there are even some in the body of Christ who have no expectation. All right, going to get to all that. This is Martin Zender. Welcome. I told you yesterday when I was in New York that I was gonna link a video to you. I forgot to do that. I forget even which video I said I was gonna link you to, but I'll rewatch that video before I publish this one, and I will put that link underneath here. The title of today's show is "The Snatching Away Is Practical."
Martin, why you keep talking about the snatching away? Because it is the greatest thing that we can imagine, and it was promised to us by God.
You know, we always say 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 13 through 17. Yeah, that's where God's writer put it in a letter to a group of saints in Thessalonica. But I always have to remind you that Paul did not write that letter. God wrote it. In other words, Paul wrote it under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We have some in the body of Christ, and Clyde Pilkington is one of them. And I've quoted him on this. He has been on record in print as saying, "Don't waste your time looking for the coming of Christ. Don't waste your time," he says. It's a tacit admission that wanting to see our Lord, wanting to be changed from mortal to immortal, is impractical. It's even foolish. It's a waste of time. But I contend to you that the reason God gave us this passage, and the reason there's no verse that says when it's going to happen, is that God knows how hard this life is, and he knows the magnificence of the promise that we have. And he wants this to be a continual expectation. It's as practical as can be. In fact, it's essential to think that this sorrowful, difficult, mortal existence could end today. Who doesn't want that? I suppose some people could pose as very pious and very practical minded and know, I will get through this life. I don't need any crutch. It's almost like the old argument that, oh, Christians or people who believe in Christ is just a crutch for them. You know, they can't make it through life. They have to have this crutch. As if being told that you are members of Christ's body and that Christ longs to be united with his body and that he is on a particular date, a particular time that only he knows, that he is going to transform our mortal bodies into bodies that are immortal, and he's going to give us glory, 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 glory. How is that impractical? To me, it's the biggest help that there is. It's a huge help knowing that this could end today. I mean, this is like a piece of candy. No, it's a sucker. It's a sucker. It's a lollipop on a stick. That's a continuous source of sugar. That's the beauty of suckers, right? You know, just keep them in your mouth and just continuously pump sugar into your system. Yeah, gotta love it. Well, this is a continual pump of sugar into our system that actually causes us, helps us to get through another day. How can it be a crutch? How can it be called a crutch if it's real? I mean, it's real. And this is the reason that the word was given. It was given 2,000 years ago. It hasn't happened yet. I don't care. That doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me that it hasn't happened yet. How does that change the fact that it could happen today? In fact, when you were a kid and you look forward to Christmas, look forward to Christmas, look forward to Christmas. When Christmas actually came, I mean, the most depressing day of the year as a kid was December 26th, the day after Christmas. It was like, oh, it's over. Or when you were a kid and you looked forward to the weekend, and then Sunday evening was a sick time for me because tomorrow I got to go back to school. So there's great value in the expectation. The expectation is fun. The expectation is a sugar rush. Folks, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 17 is a spiritual sugar rush that we're supposed to suck on. Suck on it, people. Suck on it. Let it color your day with a beautiful expectation that today this shit could be over. Some people want this shit to keep going. Clyde Pilkington is one of them. There are other people of that ilk that poo-poo the snatching away. Poo-poo it. Putting it 500 years into the future. As if they know. As if they know. On the other hand, I don't know it's going to be 2.5 minutes from now, but I expect it to be 200, Jesus. Oh, I'll take 200 minutes. I expect it to be 2.5 minutes from now. Now, when I was in New York over the weekend, my son Luke, who is not a believer, he studied philosophy in college for a year, and it wrecked him. It wrecked him. He's reading all these philosophy books, and I saw him, all these philosophy books on his shelf, and just like, oh my God, you know, Paul just blows up human philosophy in Colossians chapter 2, calls it a seduction. It's a seduction, an empty seduction, but it's a dangerous seduction because you get caught up in the ideas of humanity about life. Here's my idea, says this philosopher. Here's my idea, says another philosopher, and they try to explain their thinking in these esoteric terms, these complex, abstract concepts. Woody Allen had a great term for it. He called it mental masturbation. We're not into that. But my son told me a story that he read in one of his philosophy books about a inmate in a concentration camp. World War II, Poland, I guess. And this man claimed that a spirit being had come to him and given him the date of the liberation. May 28th, or whatever, 1945, 44, who knows. But the shock of the story was when that date came and went, the day after, the day that the, quote, spirit being, unquote, gave him the date. The day after, when it didn't happen, he died. Well, on one hand, this gives you the power of expectation. But on the other hand, this individual was looking at it in a completely selfish way. Completely selfish. Now, There's a difference between selfish and self-interest. Everybody, all of us, everybody in the world has self-interest. And this is not wrong. Love your associate as yourself. We live every day to sustain ourselves. We eat to sustain ourselves. We also eat for pleasure. And we like to sit down for our self-interest. It's pleasure. So that's different than being selfish. And we know, I've taught this for many years, that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he longs for the snatching away more than we do. And so we not only look at this as a deliverance for ourselves, which is right. It's right to do that. Don't let anybody talk you out of that. That wanting deliverance, wanting to be glorified. Hey, are we better than our Lord? Jesus said to his Father while he was on earth, Father, glorify me. Glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. That's a real spiritual statement. It's a truly spiritual statement. Glorify me. Many people would call that selfish. No, glorify me. That's a promise. Those he designates beforehand, these he calls. Whom he calls, these he justifies. Whom he justifies, these he glorifies. We're looking forward to that. I want glory. That's self-interest. It is. I'm interested in that. I want to be glorified. I'm tired of being mortal. But I also want to see God glorified. These aren't mutually exclusive things. You can want it for yourself and want it for God and Christ. Christ is longing for this. I picture him like standing at the right hand of God, not sitting at the right hand of God, just like waiting for the signal to come get his body. So that's a healthy outlook. But again, you can do that and wish for yourself to be glorified and delivered and made immortal. But this guy in the concentration camp, see, it was just completely selfish. And when that date that obviously had been falsely whispered to him, or maybe he got it in a dream or whatever, it was so selfish. When that date came and went, he died. But I'm wrong about the snatching away every 2.5 minutes. Every 2.5 minutes, I'm wrong. Do I die every 2.5 minutes? When a day goes by and the snatching away hasn't occurred, do I kill myself? No, I'm still alive. See, I'm talking to you right now. I'm still in it. I'm still here. Why? Because I'm not only thinking of my own interest, but Christ's interest. And I'm mature enough to understand that God has the timing in his mind. He's planned it from before the disruption of the world. He knows the date. He knows the time. And that's good enough for me. But in the meantime, I'm supposed to suck on this candy. And it's practical as can be. It's a present help. Because we don't just have a hope of being snatched away. We have an expectation. That's the scriptural term. That's the concordant version translation of that particular word. Forget what Greek word it is, but King James translates it hope. Concordant translates it expectation. So I expect this thing to happen. And it seems obvious, but I have to say it. The reason God didn't give Paul a date is so everybody in the body of Christ could continually suck on it and expect it. And honestly, think about this. To me, it's just like expecting Christmas. And you know that heightened expectation on Christmas Eve. What's Santa Claus going to bring me? Oh, yeah, it's great. To me, there's some part of me that likes the fact that I can suck on this every day. It's like it hasn't happened yet. That's okay because I like the expectation. I like the expectation. So I can't lose and you can't lose because the expectation is beautiful every day. Like this could be over. I can get through this because it could be over in 2.5 minutes. Oh, 2.5 minutes went by. Hey, that's okay. Now I'm going to expect it in the next 2.5 minutes. But Martin, you're wrong. 100 times a day or whatever the math works out to. Hey, that's okay because I love sucking this candy, man. I love it. Two analogies I can think of. Going to that restaurant, smelling the food, the beautiful expectation of eating a wonderful meal. And then after the meal, you're bloated. It's like, bro, why did I ever want to come to this restaurant? Sexual excitement, same way. Oh, yeah. Nothing better than that sexual tension right before the release of that sexual tension. It's a great thing. And of course, everybody wants the release. Of course you want the release. Everybody wants to eat that delicious meal, right? But there's a bit of a letdown after that. But there's not going to be any letdown from this. Oh, no. It's just going to keep getting better and better and better. But we see hints of it with the meal, with sex. We see hints of it, you see. With Christmas as a kid, we see hints of it. But of course, the earthly hints can only fail, can only go a certain distance. But when the actual event happens for us, when we're snatched away on our feet to meet the dead in Christ who will rise first, we rise together to meet the Lord in the air, changed in an instant in the casting of an eye. That's not going to have any downside. Nobody's going to be smoking a cigarette after that. Nobody's going to be, oh, I can't take any more of this glory. No, no, it's going to be more glory, more glory, more glory. And there will be more glory. It's just the beginning. The snatching away is not a terminus. It's just the beginning, you see. And so, don't let anyone trick you into thinking that expecting the snatching away is impractical, because you're mature. My audience is mature. I'm mature. And we're not sitting around looking into the sky. I continue to make videos, continue to have people working on my books, both in print and audio books. I want to get these books out, and I'm working toward that as if there's a long time to go. But see, I'm expecting there not to be a long time ago. But I'm not disappointed when that 2.5 minutes passes yet again, because I'm looking at it from God's point of view as well, knowing that He's got the perfect time. And if it comes before or after that, it's not the perfect time. And so it's a trust in God. It's a trust in God. But one thing I'm not doing, and one thing I don't want you to do, is to invent some theological concept, some theological fiction that would put it off. I tell you this, those who do that love this world. They love this world. Those who would put the snatching away off, who try to concoct some twisted theology that would make it 300 or 500 years away. These people love the world. They don't have any more proof that it's 500 years from now that I do that it's 2.5 minutes from now. But what's the difference? The difference is I am, and you are, tapping into this amazing promise as a God-appointed and God-instituted way to get through another freaking day on this planet of death, doom, and destruction. And ladies and gentlemen, that's a good thing.